Justin, we have an incredible announcement for the people. Tell them.
Big announcement coming. Austin, Texas, this November, the second Intentional Fatherhood Retreat. We are pumped. What dates, Brooke?
November 12th through the 14th, you can join us in Austin, Texas for a weekend to get away and to be refreshed and transformed as a father. Tell the people what they can expect, Justin.
We're going to have incredible worship. We're going to have great teaching. We're going to have a community of dads all coming together, not just to hear a biblical framework on how to live intentionally as a father, but also to be equipped with tons of practical habits and help on how to do that. Most of all, though, this is the kind of thing where you come into a community of dads who are all trying to follow Jesus into fatherhood together. And let me tell you guys, this will change your life. So we want you there.
Come out, go get your tickets at intentionalfatherhood.org. You can get all of your tickets there. And please, again, join us. Austin, Texas, November 12th through the 14th. Can't wait to see you there.
Welcome to the Intentional Fatherhood Podcast, where we explore what it means to live on purpose as a father and how legacy starts at home. I'm Justin Whitmore Early.
And I'm Brooke Moser. We'll be your hosts, and we desire to bring biblical hope and practical help. Thanks for listening. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Yes!
Dang
oh,
it.
I win! Welcome back to the Intentional Fatherhood Podcast, where competition is not everything and winning is not everything. So guys, if that is your case, this is what this episode's about. No, it's not. Welcome back. Season three, all through vocation, work, calling, time,
I really wish money. I was introducing right now.
Because you were like, I do it better. I got it. All right. I know you. But that said,
fair is fair.
I could see a season of life where you had to work through being a sore loser. I could see that.
Well, that was such a calm insult.
Yeah. No, I just mean like as a kid, I'm sure that was something you had to be taught. Like I have no doubt.
And we're talking about work. Vocation. Oh, wow.
Anyway, we have fun over here. So welcome. And everybody that's like taken time to like listen to this, thank you. And if you have listened through this season and before, we just say thank you so much. But Justin, why don't you let them know today how to actually connect with us, some things that are helpful.
Gosh, we would love it if y'all would like, subscribe, and send us questions. Just hit the like button on whatever platform you're listening on. Subscribe so you can stay tuned with all the episodes we're putting out. And share it with somebody. We say this ad nauseum. We want you all to listen in community. That's the best way to do all of life. You can't be a father alone. You shouldn't be. So listen to this with other dads. And if you have questions, we are going to answer questions on a future episode. We're going to answer them at the Fatherhood Retreat. We love answering your questions. So send us a voice memo, hello@intentionalfatherhood.org. State your name. Tell us where you're from. State your question in the form of a question. Keep it to about 60 seconds. And we just might play you on the podcast and answer your question.
Live, baby. You're really good at that. That's not tongue in
cheek. I'm getting better.
You're doing good.
I'm getting better.
But episode 9 today, excited about this one. This one I will say I'm excited to talk about, but this one was your idea entirely. And I really like this idea. And it's one that I didn't necessarily, like it didn't naturally for sure come to my mind. But the more that we talked about it, it was like, and even as we've been processing it, like this is really important. So set it
I'm
up.
I'm so glad.
Yeah, you have good ideas. I'm just saying, it was as we talked about it, just to realize, wow, this actually is more foundational, I think, than most people, including myself, even sometimes track. And so we're gonna have a whole conversation about it.
Yeah. Awesome. So this episode is on, drum roll, the amateur, your side projects, your hobbies, the things that you do for the love of doing it. You can't talk about vocation in the world, not in a Christian way that's rooted in God's creation of the world and redemption of all things through Jesus Christ, the risen Son of God, who will bring all things new in the new heavens and the new earth, without talking about doing some things not for money, not for productivity, not for usefulness, just for the love of it. This is why the amateur is a deeply Christian concept, because we're just going to link up some key theology here. We hope you've been listening to this whole season, but you'll remember in episode 1, we talked about God creating the world out of love, out of goodness, not out of necessity. He did not need us to exist. He did not need creation to exist.
Absolutely.
The Trinity was super happy before we came into the picture, but God wanted to do something beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the idea that creation emanates out of God's love for it. You see this in Colossians, actually. All things are sustained by God. They're dependent on him.
Mm-hmm.
There's great theology on this, but one way that I have just loved it summed up is in Father Capon's book, The Supper of the Lamb.
I call him Father K-pop, but that's K-pop.
that's what I call him. Dude, that has legs.
Father K-pop.
Father K-pop would be an amazing Christian K-pop band rooted in great theology.
It's incredible.
Somebody do that. Father Capon, y'all have heard me talk about Capon a lot, probably. He was a true theologian, Episcopal priest, before Episcopalianism became what it is now. So I just, some of you are cautious of that theology. Father Capon has great theology. He was writing in the 60s and the 70s, wrote great theology books, but he also wrote a beautiful book. It's a cookbook called The Supper of the Lamb, where he talks about cooking for the love. He was a great cook. And I'm just going to read you a short passage because he introduces the book on cooking. Like, why is a theologian writing about cooking? He says, well, there is the role of the amateur in the world. This is what he says about it. The role of the amateur, to look the world back to grace. Peel an orange, do it lovingly, in perfect quarters like little boats, or in staggered exfoliations like a flat map of the round world, or do it in one long spiral, as my grandfather used to do. Nothing's more likely to become garbage than an orange peel. But for as long as anyone looks at it in delight, it stands a million triumphant miles from the trash heap. That, you know, here's where he becomes a theologian all of a sudden. He's a great writer. That, you know, is why the world exists at all. It remains outside the cosmic garbage can of nothingness.
Yes.
Not because it's such a solemn necessity that nobody can get rid of it, but because it is the orange peel hung on God's chandelier, the wishbone in his kitchen closet. He likes it. Therefore, it stays. Wow. Just think about that. God likes creation. Therefore, it continues to exist. The whole marvelous collection of stones, skins, feathers, and strings exists because at least one lover, God, has never quite taken his eye off it.
Yes.
I love that. Yeah. He's a playful writer. He's a great theological writer, but it's this Genesis idea that God loves what he has made and we ought to love it too. And the role of the amateur is to do things for the love.
Mm. Ecclesiastes is something that I always go back to. What is it? There's nothing better than to find enjoyment in all their toil is essentially the sum of it. Like, at the end of the day, like, let's sum all this up. There's nothing better than to just actually find enjoyment in your work. And obviously this paraphrasing parts, but I think there's that 1 Timothy 6, God richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something that I just have to say, because we know it, is we have to become aware, alive again, and talk about why fathers need hobbies and play and creativity to be a fully rounded, healthy man, father, husband, all the things. And the reason why is because we are culturally in this crazy spot. And we're going to talk about what ours are, what we do. We'll give you a lot of different stuff. This is just truly the stuff that we are currently enjoying or just practicing with this. But I also want to say that it's really, really essential for you to get in tune with the fact that this is important. So before we even like you skip and you're like, I don't need that episode.
Oh, you need it.
I'm just, if you that's your tendency, you're the one that needs it more.
If you're tempted to skim this, you're really the person, need it actually. Yeah. This is for you.
Because you've gotten locked into what many men do. And Justin and I, especially and included, high five, my dude.
Let's go.
Yeah, there we go. Which is you get into a pattern of productivity and work and accomplishment and responsibility and making money and provision. And that is like a flywheel that keeps going, that unless you have something to interrupt it, to stop it, it will just get faster and faster till it undoes you.
Yes.
I think creativity, hobbies, the amateur, enjoying stuff just for the love of it is the thing that slows that flywheel down and puts it at the right pace and helps it. Just like Sabbath and the different things we've been talking about, it actually is something that is essential for your fatherhood. Your fatherhood needs you to have hobbies for your sanity, for your enjoyment, because if not, life is just then responsibility with no enjoyment. And grumpy, grumpy people are made from that combination.
Grumpy. For some reason, this was just connecting in my head the idea that God made you to laugh. Oh. Like he created you with the ability to laugh.
I love this.
Just to look at things and be like, that's wild, or that's weird, or that's funny.
Yes.
And I think a lot of dads I meet, particularly in this phase of giving their life away, have lost a bit of the ability just to laugh or play or back up from work and be like, hey, the world is worth enjoying. And what do your kids and your wife need more from you than a dad who knows how to hang up the towel at 5 o'clock, go home and laugh and play with the family? Do something that they love.
But it's also like, maybe just depending on where you're at in your journey, right? No matter how old or young you are when you're hearing this, it's important to start to learn how to do this, because for some, if you have been just on this wheel that is going and going and going, this will feel foreign. It will feel wrong. You will start doing things that have no productivity or money connected to it, and it will feel like you're doing something morally wrong. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say, you've got Jesus, you've got the Bible, you have other millions of men on your side to say, no, this is actually good for you to cultivate this, to make space for it, to include others in it, and to actually prioritize. Because I think this is something where so many men, we reduce life to work and rest. Like we've been talking about this, like, hey, you're going to work hard. You're going to have a calling. You have these different things and you need to rest. But we have to remember to enjoy creation. We have to remember to help to encourage or cultivate joy. And joy without outcome. I think I want to say that. Joy without an outcome. Like having fun for the sake of having fun.
Yes.
And so I and different personalities are going to lean into this easier than others. But the point is, for all of us, again, it doesn't matter where you land on this. If this is easy to you or if it's hard, we all have a responsibility to make this a priority. So we have three different like things we're going to move through. We talked about really quick, and I think this is important, the things that basically slow us down. Like what stops us from doing this?
Yeah, like three things that keep us from stepping into this very godlike mode of doing things for the enjoyment of it. What keeps us from going there?
First one that we identified, and it's so true, everything becomes about money. So you got the that side hustle culture, monetize every gift that happens. So you said this, Justin, like you're making something on Etsy and someone's like, hey, or making something.
You're
like,
just you making should, something. Someone's you like, you should sell this on Etsy.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Or you're doing this leather goods thing. You love this. Oh, why aren't you making it a business?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it goes from enjoyment to like pressure, and you hate it pretty quick when those moments happen. So it's, everything has become about money. And I think there's such wisdom in slowing down and asking the deeper question, like, is this a hobby? Or is this actually something that is for the world, part of my greater calling, the greater thing I'm made to do?
Can I speak to this for a second?
Please,
because
please.
There's nothing wrong with you, by the way, taking your hobby and making it a side project or selling it on Etsy. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it. And in fact, actually, I think life story wraps around this a little bit. I talked in earlier episodes how writing has always been a passion of mine.
Mm-hmm.
I've always felt it part of my vocation.
Yes.
Even though I was scared to name it in my 20s, it didn't feel right to call myself a writer when I didn't have anything like, you know, really written, officially published and no one was paying me for it. And that, I just want to pause on that for a minute. I was scared to call myself a writer because no one was paying me for it. That's a sign that you're doing the thing we talked about in episodes 1 through 3, which is tying your understanding of vocation to either an IRS tax status of it or an economic viability of it. All of your vocation is not necessarily for money.
Absolutely.
And one of the important gifts I think that God has given me in my life is that, amazingly, writing turned into something that is a part of my vocation for money now. But one of the things that I am committed to, and I prayed about this a lot and thought about this a lot, is keeping it in a place where it's not done for the money. So one of the people ask me all the time, are you just going to write like and speak and quit the lawyering thing? And there's many reasons why I don't want to do that. But one of them is I really like the idea of being able to provide for my family through lawyering and keep writing in a place that is for the love. So I don't know that if I would say I'm an amateur writer in the sense of That it is only, now a profession. You know, I am paid for it. I take it very seriously. But there's a real part of my life with writing that is for the love.
You're doing it anyway.
I'm doing it anyway. I always will do it. If no one, if everyone canceled me and said, I'm not going to pay you for anything, your words are worthless, I would write because I must, you know? Yes. And I want you all to think, like, what's the thing that you must do in your life to be who God made you to be? Woodworking?
Yeah.
Camping? Sense?
Cologne? Not yet. Okay, don't you dare gate.
People are like, what's he talking about?
I would just say everything, but so that's one thing, that everything becomes about money. So that's one potential thing that you just need to name and know, like, has everything become about money for you? So I think that's something to, what's the second one? I think you had it on your, what's the second one we talked about?
The second thing that prevents us from stepping into this part of life is that people don't necessarily understand this part of our lives. Okay.
Yes.
When I became a lawyer, for example, I was actually so excited to get what I call a Richard Scarry occupation.
Tell me more.
You read the Richard Scarry children's books. Everybody has read these as a kid. It's like the pictures of the animals, like on a Richard Scarry busy town street. And it's like, here's the dentist. Here's the lawyer. You know, here's the accountant. Here's the garbage collector.
You have one of those.
Yeah, I got a Richard Scarry occupation. Like, everybody knows what a lawyer does.
Yes.
And honestly, and there's a danger to this. It's like, oh, you can now have an identity, you know, that I'm that. And we attach our identity to our jobs. But when we get into the realm of hobbies, people don't necessarily understand why you loved stained glass. Like, they think it's weird that you like stained glass and that you want to recover the Renaissance art of handmade stained glass.
Yes.
And they're like, this is not useful, dude. This is a little extra. This is out there.
Yes.
But you are obsessed with passing old churches on the street and be like, why don't we make this anymore? And my point is, whether it's stained glass or, I don't know.
Yeah, whatever it is.
Making leather goods. People are going to be like, I don't understand why you're doing this. Maybe even your wife is going to be like, I don't understand where this is going.
You set me up twice for this. Okay. So one of the things I'll just tell you one of my random.
And smells so good in here.
Thank you. I've been really slow to I shared this with you without recording. I was like, I don't know if I want to talk about this because really, truly, it's just for me. It's not for anyone else. And it doesn't mean that like I won't talk about it, but I think for me, one of the things that I love is I love fragrance. I've always fragrances of all sorts and kind. And you're already looking at me
people are leaning into their steering wheel, the speaker.
I'm like, what is that?
Like, did I just tell you
fragrance?
Is it into fragrances?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you understand some of my story, I didn't grow up with sports. I grew up with a different situation. And we're laughing for other reasons. We'll tell you more later.
But we'll let that stay, baby.
Yeah, I love it. But but that's not even the point. I think that's so, like, when I say fragrance, what I mean? I mean, like, different colognes, different like the hobby of actually understanding scent and scent profiles and like wearing fragrances because I like them. Now, here's what you're talking about. People don't understand. You're judging. Some of you are listening right
some
now.
Some of you are judging.
And you're
Brooke
like
right
judging.
Now.
You're like,
lay off him, dude. He likes colognes.
Yeah, but also let me just say this. If you are such a person that you feel like you need to judge somebody for liking something, that's on you, not on me. Yeah. I'm secure enough to go like, yeah, I'm sharing and I'm not, don't worry, I have my own insecurities. But this doesn't bother me to share with you because I think it's a perfect example of what you're talking about. I don't talk about this except for the few people that I actually do talk to, and they're just as into it as I am, which is really fun. And then secondly, it's something that even my wife goes, I don't really get it. And talking about the understanding thing is she's like frugal by nature. And she's also like more of a minimalist. So she's like, why would you not just have like one or three? And I'm like, why would you not have 20 or 50? Like, I don't get you know what I mean? Now I don't have 50. I don't even have 20, but I'm trying to say like,
why would I not have 50?
Why would I have 50? But I want to say something actually, this is the core point and apply it to whatever your thing is. I don't do this for anybody and for anyone but the enjoyment of it. I honestly, like when I look at fragrance and fragrance profiles and all this different stuff, what I love about it, and I don't know why, and again, you can judge all you want, but I will say that it literally makes me think of all the different scriptures when Solomon was trading with the queen and all this stuff. And one of the things they traded were all of these incredible fragrances, mm-hmm. but then also all of these particular materials and fabrics and all this stuff. Like there was this luxury about it. And this foundational thing that scents were one of the five things that God gave us. One of the five, why am I blanking on what they're called? Senses that we have. And the, I actually, because I got so nerdy about this, I was like, I wonder like what, because I don't like you hear about sight, sound, smell, or taste, but we don't talk about smell that much.
And interestingly, the Bible and also ancient pagan literature talks a lot about gods, and the Bible talks about Yahweh.
Yes.
Appreciating the aroma of incense and sacrifice. Like there is something we've lost in our modern culture that ancient cultures and people before us understood that this is a rich part of the experience of creation to smell something fragrant.
Elizabeth, I hope you're listening to this. but it's to say that to honestly, to me, it's one of the five senses God gave us. And this guy was talking about cooking, right? K-pop. He was talking about cooking.
K-pop is ridiculous. I
love it. He's cooking.
It's so bad.
And all of the different, like you have five of these senses. And if you're dialed in on one and it brings you particular enjoyment and connection with God and just like, I like literally am more calm and regulated at times when I like have these different fragrances. Cause, and again, like that's my wiring makeup. Yours is going to be different. But wherever my people are at, like, please just let me know. But I would just say lastly that this is something that I don't talk about much because it's not for anyone else. I don't make it a big deal because I don't care if other people like it or not. I have to sit and be with me all day. And it's something I do. My wife doesn't even care too much or even like it that much. And I've had to go, do I do this for her? Do I not do it for her? Can I like it even if she doesn't love it? She more tolerates than she does love. And like, I've had to work through that. Like very really, I've had to work through that. Like, do I feel, am I insecure? Like, am I doing it for the wrong reasons? And at the end of the day, this is something that I love. I love thinking through the process. I have a buddy. I got a text last night. Tully, you know who you are, buddy. We have this fragrance trading situation. It's amazing.
I witnessed you and Tully, I think, talking about fragrances for the first time. I was between you guys and I was like, one, it smells really good here. Two, these guys are about to hit off a bromance.
Yeah. Well, it's a language that a lot of people don't actually speak unless you speak it in some, it's really fun. He got some fragrance that we're going to be sharing and it just has a note from his wife on it. And it just says, you and Brooke have issues. Love your wife.
Which is true. They're not necessarily bad ones, but that is actually true.
And I would say, of course I have issues. Anyway, it was so funny because again, like in that situation, I know he's doing it because he loves it. I do it because I love it. It's just something that is just the true enjoyment, even though people don't understand.
I love that you kind of went hard in the paint there and I love it.
Because, wait, was I not supposed to?
No, it's perfect because you're honestly perfectly illustrating the point of something that is kind of weird to most people who just heard it.
Thanks, Justin. I feel really safe. I feel really safe here.
It's true though. Most people are not going to get into fragrances.
I get it.
It's rooted in a love of creation, the way that God loves creation. And this is going to be true of every amateur side project hobby that you have.
Sure.
If you're doing it right, people are going to be like, my guy is going a little hard in the paint here for my friends. You know, I got friends who are like, one friend's super into bow hunting. Yes. One friend is super into souping up his Land Cruiser. Yes. One is really into like improving his backyard. Some are really into their grass. Some are really into cooking, golf.
Yeah.
I could go on. I love all these things. Okay. I love all these things. But whenever I look at any of these guys, I'm like, they love it a little much. But it's great because something in that thing, they see the pleasure of God. They see the pleasure of God's creation and they love it. And I'm all for it. I'll talk in a minute about how it needs to fit with your family.
Oh, of course.
But
yes,
just note, not everything is for money and not everything needs to be understood by everybody else.
Yes. What's yours?
I'm going to get into it. Let me say the third thing.
Okay.
This is our third thing. This is our third one.
Yes, we got it. Fathers, we are so excited to let you know of two resources that myself and Justin have been working on. First, Sowing a Hidden Seed, Daily Prayers for Your Child's Spiritual Growth is available exclusively right now at intentionalparents.org or intentionalfatherhood.org. It is a 31-day guide to help you pray and focus with consistency on your family, your children, helping shape their hearts while God shapes yours. And of course, you've heard about it. Justin's resource, his new book, The Body Teaches the Soul, is available everywhere books are sold. This book is about the 10 essential habits that build a healthy and holy life, habits that strengthen how you lead your home. So we want to just encourage you, if you have not grabbed those resources and those are helpful, please take a moment, get those now, and let's get back to today's episode.
In a world,
I love this.
I want you to hear this sentence. Number three, things that keep us from stepping into our hobbies. In a world of consumption, creativity is not only hard, creativity looks odd. So being creative the way that God is creative. First of all, that's a really important statement. And back to the beginning, we talked about a couple verses in Genesis 2 might be useful to you here, but specifically, I think it's 2:7, if I'm not mistaken. God made the trees of the garden to be good for fruit, good for food, and also pleasing to the eye. God is aware. He invented the idea of form and function. And some things are just meant to be pleasing. Aroma is a huge one. Like the idea that God could nourish us without taste. Yes. And he could have made us to be able to taste without making us to be able to smell. But talk to any sommelier or chef or Brooke, and you know that important. Smell is actually the biggest component of taste. It's the hugest way that we encounter the world. And God is creative. He makes things that are beautiful. And in a world that's become bent on economic productivity and consumption, being someone who's creative is kind of radically different, weird. It's going to be hard. It's going to look odd. But creativity is so important. By the way, this free one here. Think of your use of screens and training your kids in using screens more for creativity than consumption.
I love it
when my kids pull out a YouTube video to learn a song on guitar.
Yes.
But I don't love it, and I don't let them actually. They're not allowed to pull out just things to scroll on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yep.
One use is consuming.
Yep.
One use is creativity. And your hobbies, you've got to find somewhere in life that you're creative. I don't care how type A, whatever. You're a CPA. Great.
You have to.
Find your creative hobby.
Oh, I was going to say, I want to talk about what ours are. C.S. Lewis says, joy is the serious business of heaven.
That's good.
And it really is. And we're, this isn't something, again, like that is so foreign to us. And when you create, I love that how you said it is, it really does look odd in some ways now. And I think you have to realize the leaders of the future are those who create, not consume. And if you want to lead the future, you have to learn how to create and not consume.
Yeah.
And that is something that you all, people listening to this podcast, most people don't listen to podcasts like this unless they're like, hey, I would like to actually think through this stuff and lead. Like there's already that innate thing in you. Creative things for you, we've kind of talked about this a little. Like as I've grown up, that's changed. And I think it's important to note, like, so I was a musician, a drummer for a very long time. I still obviously play, but like that was a huge outlet for creativity. And it scratched a very real itch as I was like, I didn't start playing till like eighth grade, but it was a huge part of my life for so long. And I barely do it anymore to the point where my kids are like, are you ever going to buy a drum set again? Like, is this going to happen? And part of me thinks like, I might. But right now I'm at a space where like what has changed is like writing and speaking and content, like that scratches that creative itch in a way that I don't feel like this loss of music.
It's so good.
So anyway, but what's some of yours?
Let me just make one note on creativity before I share mine.
Yeah.
I had a friend in college who insisted that fiction was a waste of time.
Ooh.
And I was, as an English major, I just went, you know, really hard on arguing with this guy.
Yeah.
Like, but, you know, some of you out there listening, you don't understand why somebody would see a play or read poetry or read fiction. They're like, you know, what's, and I just think that's a sign that you don't understand the fullness of who God is. Creativity is such a key part of what it means to be human, and play is a part of that. I read an awesome chapter. We mentioned this guy earlier, Jordan Rayner, great modern writer on work.
Yes.
He has a lovely book called Five Mere Christians. I think it's about a year old. He writes about Christians in their vocation. Hmm. One of them was Ole Kirk Christensen, who is the founder of Legos.
Oh.
Really cool story. You should go read it. But just so you know, like, this guy started in carpentry. Hmm. His shop burned down like 3 times. He lost his wife. But because of a vision from God, he had seen in his young years a factory of like him providing for employees, a busy factory of people working. And he was bent on doing it. And he kept going back. Even when people were like, this is silly, you're now making toys, not chairs. He was bent on this idea of creating great playthings, little toys for kids. Yeah, his, you know, the empire, his son really turned it into what it is now. It's Lego.
Yeah.
And I believe still family run by the fourth generation. So a lot in this guy's legacy. But but Ole Kirk Christensen was a devout Christian.
Okay.
He's like seriously bent on providing play because of his theology. So it's worth it to go look at people like that and say, what did he understand that I don't? Because one, he did something amazing.
Yeah, he did.
Two, he created one of the coolest companies in the world.
To date, still.
And three, he just sort of understood that creativity thing. So anyway,
yes.
What are mine? Here's some of my examples. And hopefully these will be some practical takeaways for you. So am I giving my examples first?
Yeah, please.
Okay. I love camping. I love camping.
I actually knew this, but didn't know that it was deep of
it's a deep-seated hobby.
Okay.
I love coffee. I love buying.
I know. I'm going to make fun of
buying little accessories to make my coffee different. I love making cocktails.
Wait, before you go to cocktails, let's pause on coffee real quick. That makes sense to me. Like, you would look at me and go, oh, fragrance, cool. Like, I appreciate part of it, but then there's a line where you're like, neat. I see your obsession,
right,
desire for coffee. And I'm like, I totally appreciate it up to a line, but I would never get it. Like, it stopped being interesting at good coffee to me.
Yeah.
But then, I want to say, but here's the thing. Zero judgment. I so get it. It's just not the same thing. It's like, yep. I love getting into every single nuance when you love a thing. And so I think it's just highlighting the point of what we said earlier, which is so important, that if you're really into it, some people aren't going to understand it, and that's okay.
That's right.
So you got that. You got coffee.
I love
cocktails.
I love making cocktails.
Yes.
I love making bread. I don't do it as much as I used to, but I think it is so fun because it's tactile to make sourdough bread. Also, this is one of the things we didn't know about each other when we met and started this, but we both used to play the drums. Both still play the drums to some extent. Music is super important to me. There's a piano in our living room. There's guitars hanging above it. And there's an electronic drum set upstairs. There's a little cajon that you can sit on. The idea that you might pick up a guitar and play a song and sing mediocre along with it is, I think, the realm of the amateur. To say, I could kind of like imitate this song. I can jamming with my kids. We'll talk about this in a minute, how your kids meet you.
We're going to talk about that.
So fun. And then last one, I would say, you know, working out and writing are two huge hobbies for me.
Yes.
Places where, and I'd say this one, you know, really important. Like, working out is as much of a physical discipline as it is an amateur hobby, because I'm like, I feel the pleasure of God when I'm like just moving my body.
Yeah.
You can stay healthy in many different ways.
Yes.
But I choose a form that is very kind of like hard in the paint. I like CrossFit. I like getting into it. I like doing it with other people.
Well, even the skills that are required to do it, there's a goal. Like,
There's lots of things in CrossFit that people are like, that's not necessary to be healthy. Yeah. And we're like, we know these are cocktail party tricks, because we're sort of into the amateur world.
I don't know how to
exercise.
Do a kipping pull-up. What are you talking about?
Yeah. But here's where I would just give three practical points that wrap all of these. I hopefully make these applicable to you, okay? One, these make my work worth it. Right? Like, I work hard because I'm so excited to take my boys on a camping trip. Or I make coffee at 10 a.m. every morning in the Chemex, and I walk around my office and I offer, like, who wants a cup of good coffee?
Yeah, sharing it.
You know, so many people say no. Sometimes we're like, let me try that coffee.
Yes,
you love it so much.
Yes.
You know, I make music in the evening occasionally with my kids. It brings us great joy. I make a cocktail on the weekends. I work out almost every day to end work. And these things pad my life of vocation and make rest out of what is otherwise a lot of work. And so we've touched on Sabbath in and out a lot here.
Yes.
I'll just touch on it again. One of my favorite quotes, we've mentioned it before, I think at least on season one, we talked about it. Abraham Heschel, those who work with their hands should Sabbath with their mind.
Love that.
And those who work with their mind should Sabbath with their hands. One of the things that's true of all these things is they're very tactile. Mm-hmm. Because lawyering is very in your head.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that's true about all these things is they're kind of...
For you, you're saying.
Yeah. About all my hobbies, sorry. Yeah. They're out of my head and into the body.
Yeah, they're very physical in nature.
Yeah, they're out of the linear, logical realm of thinking into the creative realm of thinking. And that sort of tactile nature of it, that sort of creator nature of it, allows me to enter a spirit of Sabbath, not just on Sundays when I am really focusing on Sabbath, but also like on weeknights when I'm like, I want to rest by picking up a guitar. I want to rest by buying a new piece of camping gear and planning our next trip.
Yes.
And the last thing I note about these, just for your practical point, is that, you know, all of these have been tailored to fit with my family. There's a way to be into camping where you're like, so I want to do
a solo camping trip,
like a climb in Norway and sleep alone for 3 weeks. And it's like, well, you've got a 4-year-old.
But it's not that you can't plan that in, but that can't be everything.
No, exactly. I would caution people that every single hobby can be taken to an extreme and it becomes anti-family.
Yes.
You know,
yes, good word.
Like my coffee habit could be anti-family because I'm like, I'll never drink this. I'll only do this. And thus it complicates family life. And, you know,
truth.
This is all possible. You could have cocktails way too much and become what we call an alcoholic instead of a lover of creation. And that's very, very bad.
Yes.
You know, all of these things can be taken to extreme. But so think about whatever your hobby it is, whatever your hobby is, make it fit with your family. Find something that can be restful. I suggest find something that can be tactile, particularly if you're a mind worker, and find something that pulls out that creative part of you. What are yours?
Well, I named one. Fergus is big, but I mean, there's only so much. That's just more of a, like an enjoyment piece, a part of life. I was just thinking through, you were talking about the resting piece, like that the Sabbath. I lived in Los Angeles when I remember reading that book, Abraham Heschel's book, and reading that detail. And this was a time when it was like a lot of legalism was going around, or legalism in the sense of how a Sabbath should look. And it was like, Sabbath means like, don't work at all. And you're like, whoa, but like, I gotta do stuff. Like,
you gotta do the work of rest.
Yeah. So, but all I'll say is that, you know, it's just on that note, what I've noticed, I'm saying this for myself. What most men call rest is actually numbing out.
Oh, that's good to name.
Just to say.
Note that none of these hobbies are like Netflix binging.
No, but just to say like.
Or scrolling.
You got to identify and just name where you're not actually resting. You're just numbing out. And why I say that is because you'll just be always exhausted if you're numbing out instead of actually resting. Actual rest is something that gives you life. It's you slowing down. It's disconnecting from the pressures of all that. So I'm just, put that there. We have to just differentiate what is numbing, what is resting. They're different and they kind of seem similar, but they're not.
Can I just quickly?
Please.
I'll go to mine. I think the best use of our free time, our amateur life, our hobbies, push us into, these all happen to start with C, creativity, community, maybe competition. Okay.
Yes.
You can love sports. I love sports. Love athleticism. Yes. My boys play a lot of it. We do a lot of it. But sitting around all Sunday afternoon and constantly watching football, for example.
Yes.
Is probably not restful in the richest meaning of the word.
Sure.
Watching a game with your family is great. But I would beware of hobbies that end up with you on the couch in front of a TV alone for long periods of time.
Absolutely.
You're probably doing something more like numbing out.
Yeah, it's and maybe it starts as a hobby, but it moves to that.
Yeah, you know, so just be wary.
Well, just all this, like you just said, like any of these could be done to an extreme and be like, you could work out too much, you could sign up for too many races, you could, any of this is in balance. But so I just want to name that. I think a couple of other ones, like I love sauna and cold plunges. Oh, I love it. I just love them. And they're refreshing to my body, my soul. I find the euphoricness of it. It's beautiful. I love that. I also love cigars. Again, please feel free to hate if you want, but I love cigars. I love the process. I love understanding. I love It's something that I love to do with friends. It's something that I connect with God in. And obviously there's a balance from it, but I also like really enjoy, again, the whole experience mm-hmm. around it. Mm-hmm. For my birthday, I just turned 40 this last year. Ben, my good friend, he got me this lighter and it's the nicest lighter cover and it's engraved and it's like this, it's this really cool priest with this prayer on it. And it's like one of those lighters that you keep for your life. Like you pass it on to your kids. It was the coolest thing. And it's just, it's meaningful. It's all these like very tactile things. And so those are some of the, I'd say those are some of the more like surface level. Some of the
By the way, I just want to throw my support behind the cigar one.
Oh, thank you.
I know we got tons of people who have convictions otherwise, and I respect them.
Oh, I do too.
But I will just say half of my good friends use cigars or tobacco moderately mm-hmm. and in service of great conversation.
Yes, sir.
Or contemplation.
Both.
Most people in history have. Most of your favorite writers have.
Yeah.
Your favorite Christian writers.
Yeah, that's true.
At least mine.
Yeah.
C.S. Lewis, Tolkien, G.K. Chesterton. There's just a terrific history of what we would honestly probably call us small vices that prevent a man from larger ones because he uses them in service of creativity, contemplation, community. And so, you know, I do not support anybody drinking too much. I do not support anybody smoking too much, but I support anybody who wants to do these things in moderation because that's where you find the pleasure of God in them.
Absolutely. And this is something that I enjoy. I don't need anyone else to enjoy it, but I will say this, like those two C's are contemplation, or community, like those are real things.
Yeah.
And to say that, although, I would say something else that's just a unique thing to, again, it's a little bit of what you were talking about. I love, like as a hobby, I love learning the art of communication. Mm. So speaking, like I love writing, that's part of it, but I actually really love the craft of learning how to communicate. And what I mean is like
that.
How do you speak? How do you speak in a way that's helpful? How do you speak in a way that helps people, that psychologically connects things so people don't have to do the heavy lifting?
Oh, that's so good.
And so the craft of that, which I don't even actually really talk about anywhere, but it's also then again, a part of my profession. So it's a weird overlap, but I also use it as a way to like, what people don't know is like when I go to speak places, it's internally this game for me in a good way. It's a hobby to go, what do they need? I want to meet with them and find out what is it that they want to like, what are they trying to accomplish? How can I craft what, like hopefully bring what God's given me, my perspective, what they're asking me to come do and their culture moment and put it together in a way that's helpful.
Yeah.
And that to me, that is actually really fun. It's a hobby that kind of falls in the category of work as well, which I love. But even this year, I'm not even going to say where, but there's a handful of places that I've been praying into being able to speak that some invitations have come in this year that are for me a big deal. And I'm already mentally not overwhelmed by it or stressed. I'm like excited because it's like, oh, this is like something I love to figure out how to do.
I like that.
How do you, you know, speak to a room that's this big or this small or wherever it's at in between. Like that. So that's actually a hobby that I love that I don't talk about a lot either.
I like that overlaps with your paid vocation.
Yep.
Because I do think probably everybody would do well to think about this as kind of overlapping circles.
Yes.
There's going to be parts of your work that you just don't love and are a grind. Great. Grind it out. There's sanctification in that. You're providing for your family. There's going to be parts of your life that you just love.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't produce anything.
That's, yes.
This episode is in service to that.
Yes.
But probably done rightly, there's going to be parts of those circles that overlap where you find the art of your work really interesting.
Mm.
And this is the part you love leaning into. And there are other parts that you don't like, but you just love this part. Wonderful. Wonderful.
Yes.
And some of your hobbies might come into the realm of making you some money or being productive and useful. Dude. Wonderful. And I think we're living well when we're experiencing all three of those modes.
I was going to say one thing. There's this idea. I don't know if you've heard of it. But pleasure stacking. Have you heard of this before?
That sounds illicit.
It's not in any way. So it's actually a practice. Desert mothers and fathers talked about this idea. But
okay.
But it's the idea where you actually like even when you get closer to Sabbath as an idea, that you save things for that day that you love and you stack them on top of each other. So it would be like Justin goes to a workout. And then from that workout, he goes to play songs and music with his kids. And then he goes and makes a cocktail that night. And you're doing the things that you love and you're kind of stacking them into one day as like...
Oh, this is intuitive to me, dude. This is what I do on a weekend.
Got it. So again... But naming is important. So like for me, maybe it would look like I'm smoking a cigar while speaking and wearing great fragrance. I don't know. Maybe one day,
somebody,
Lord, please
invite Brooke to do that.
No, dude.
I want to join you.
Yeah, please. That would be a really interesting thing. But no, it's to say like that's an important part of this too, is like find your things. What were you going to say?
I want to send us out here.
Yes, we have three things.
I think hobbies, amateur vocations done rightly.
Yes.
They connect you to God, they connect you to friends, and they will actually connect you to your family.
Yes.
And these things intertwine to begin a feeling of legacy, which is what we're going to tackle in the next episode. Just a teaser. Brooke, you did very well explaining how a good hobby, even in fragrance, sort of like you feel the pleasure of God, you're connected to a part of Him.
Mm-hmm.
Your hobbies, take them seriously because you'll find something spiritual in them.
Big time.
Number two, this is where a lot of your life will create community. I mean, most of my friends are not lawyers and writers. Like, that's my vocation. I do have great community in my office. Like, I love the people that have voted legal. It's so fun.
Yeah.
But most of my friends are overlapping in my hobbies. I meet most of my great friends now in the gym, you know, or doing, something fun with my historic friends and then meeting a new one. Communities and amateur hobbies, you will find friendship there, which is so important. Love and it. By the way, little free piece of advice. It's probably the only place you'll find evangelism.
Mm.
Lots of you, if you're like me, this is the place where you'll meet non-believers, where you share the same love as them.
Yeah.
And then you can develop a friendship to allow you to share more of your loves. Yes. So, and then this one is super important. It connects you to family. Most of you know your fathers for better if you knew them through one of their hobbies.
Yes.
Most of you knew your father's for worse if you only knew him through his job.
Yeah.
So if you to your kids are just the guy who goes really hard as a banker, that's risky. Dude, that's thin ice. But if you're the banker who wrote poetry at home.
And they remember that. Yeah.
That's T.S. Eliot, by the way.
Yeah.
One of our famous poets. He was a banker.
About that.
Yeah. Then you're in the realm where your family sees you as a more full man, a more rounded man, as a more spiritual man, and as a more accessible man.
Yes.
Because they're like, oh, I like camping too. Mm. And I don't really understand investment banking,
but
I love kayaking with you, Dad. And that where if you are putting your hobbies on display well, if they're fitting with your family well, your kids are going to hang out with you in them. Mm. And that becomes one of the greatest pleasures. You find this with your son, right?
Oh, big time.
And your daughters.
Oh, big time. We talked about really quick. Those were really great. I don't even know if we planned those, but those were really great.
Oh, maybe you did them.
Three things we did talk about though, just like, hey, these are going to be very fast. They'll be in the show notes. Basically this week, what to do. You'll remember when I say it. Reclaim one useless thing.
If there's one useless thing
that you have going on, reclaim it for fun. Second, and this is really important, schedule play like responsibility. Put in your calendar. Play, make it an hour or two or more, schedule play like it's a responsibility. If not, it won't happen. And then three, invite your kids into it. It's not that challenging to have fun with your kids. You just got to make space for it.
Mm.
And so this week, try that. Reclaim one useless thing, schedule play like it's your responsibility and invite your kids into it. And men, find your thing. This is such a great gift that God's given us, and you will be a joyful person if you do. Remember, don't just think that this is a responsibility. It is a gift from God to experience.
It's a serious business of joy. Go play, go schedule it, go schedule time for that hobby. See you next week, guys.
Next week.